in all of time, in all of history, man has never created one single living cell. Yet your body does that millions to billions of times a day. That's where I put my faith. So I try to encourage people. I want them to know that, listen, that there's a doctor 24/7 on the clock, making chemicals, making hormones, detoxing you. So yeah, compared to the smartest person you know or the greatest doctor you think, I'm just saying that level of intelligence is laughable compared to the wisdom that is in you right now, animating you so you can even hear me say this. If I can help you understand the magnificence of the body that God gave you, your fear of disease drops significantly. Your fear of a fever drops significantly because you realize that you're designed to heal. So I'm Dr. Ben Rall. Welcome to Designed to Heal.
Welcome back to Designed to Heal. My name is Jeff here with Dr. Ben Rall, and it's just us. And you have a subject today, man. You have, you're a little hot today, Ben.
Well, so I woke up this morning, and I need to get some new habits in my life, probably. So I was checking the news, and the first study report on a study. Well, I shouldn't call it a study. What I read was this headline, and it said, Ozempic babies. Women claim weight loss drugs are making them more fertile, and experts agree. So here's what I want to talk about. I, at the risk of a little bit of an overstatement here, Jeff, I'm gonna kind of give you what I predict is going to happen with healthcare in the future here, kind of a way they're going to start talking about things,
yeah.
Okay, and some language to look out for. Because I'm seeing a change in tone. And now, mind you, these people, the pharmaceutical industrial complex, medical industrial complex, these have the best marketing, teams in the world. Mm-hmm. They have the best. I mean, if you've ever seen the studies, they spend more on marketing than they do research and development. So we always hear the numbers they spend on making drugs. Well, just know they spend more than that marketing it to you. So when they find ways to know how to, it's every thing that you would think it is. I mean, you think you're running a big deal when you run two different ads on Facebook and see which one gets more hits. Mm-hmm. These guys are hooking you up to machines and checking your brain and your eye tracking and stuff I don't even know. And the best psychology out there, and how do they manipulate you, and how do they get your emotions? I mean, we've heard this in the food industry when they're measuring bliss point, so the Doritos lights up certain areas of your mouth to give you basically a mental orgasm as you're eating this food.
You're kidding.
Not even kidding at all. Like, this isn't even debate. They literally call it the bliss point, which is how can they get that fine moment where your brain just explodes in ecstasy over the food that you're eating. And so then when you go to have the quote carrot, right, you go, well, that sucked. Right. It's like when people say, well, my kids won't eat anything. They will, because they don't like, carrots. They only eat, chicken McNuggets with excitotoxins on them and, whatever, fill in the blank. So we need to have a discussion. So
that's a whole other show right there. Can we just like bookmark that?
Well, yeah, because we can. But I'll do it really quickly right now.
OK,
this is not difficult. That's what processed food is. This is not a real watershed moment here. Processed food is to addict you. There's been countless books on this. I've talked about the one of my favorites recently, Ultra Processed People. But I mean, you can, this is what they do. Mm. Like these Ho-Hos and Twixes and Mountain Dews and it's all designed to addict your brain.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the chemicals that they make synthetically to flavor them and to add them, excitotoxins, neurotoxins, cross the blood-brain barrier, make your brain go, and then you go, man, I want that. Okay, now they don't tell you that, but come on, that's not news.
Is that part of why you'll hear people say sometimes the healthiest way to eat is fewest ingredients,
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think it's just, I don't even know what to say. It's just logic. I think we all understand that. I mean, to some degree. So what I would say is.
What I'm saying is that that information that you just shared for a lot of people is just too much. They don't even know what to do with that. So sometimes not for me, because I'm going,
I don't
really
think it's too much. I think anybody that lives in this world realizes that the bags of junk food hanging everywhere and in every aisle in the store, and have raised a kid for more than 15 minutes and watched them act like a crack addict when they don't get some sort of food and have a nervous breakdown. I don't think it's too difficult to really say, what? They're doing that?
I still don't think they make the connection, man. I think it's, most people don't. I think what happens is it's just, they know it's bad because it's, it's processed and it's got bad ingredients or whatever, but it tastes good or whatever. Well, I don't think people are thinking about the neuroscience of that.
Well, they've done more studies. They've done studies that would, just paraphrasing here, but like essentially it's harder. It's been shown like neurologically to be more difficult to get off of sugar than heroin.
Okay? That wouldn't surprise me.
So
that wouldn't.
So again, they understand the magnitude and the reality of what's happening here. Okay. Yeah. Now that wasn't even what I wanted to talk about today, but to your point, or, you know, so I see that.
Yeah.
I see that study. And then a friend of mine, I actually sent that to him. And he sends me back, he goes, well, man, I just finished reading an article and I want to read this to you guys as well. And this was out of the LA Times. Now, understand the way that I read, you know, mainstream media when I read that is it's never an accident that any article makes it onto any news. So the article that says Ozempic babies, I assure you, that was not an accident. That title
didn't
came
surprise
up.
Me. Yeah.
And I will also tell you when it says Ozempic babies, women are saying they're getting pregnant. And then at the end it says, and experts agree. Right. I mean, it's all manufactured to get into the narrative. Mm. Right. So how many, so we have, by the way, we have a fertility crisis happening in America right now. Mm. This is well established. Mm-hmm. We're having a challenge.
Yeah, our birth rate has been
everybody and their dogs. Maybe not dogs, but everybody is having a hard time getting pregnant. You see more IVF. Right, you see more, I can't get pregnant. I'm having miscarriages. Right. So there's a lot of women that are going to read that headline. Just think about the psychology of this, you guys. First of all, for people, anybody that's ever struggled having a baby, I know my wife and I did.
Dude, I was totally thinking about that. The infertility struggle right away. That is just like flat out playing on emotions.
So
I
mean, so any woman that's having a hard time having a baby reads that. Now, also, let's just think about this. Mm-hmm. Almost every woman I know, how to say this the right way? Like, so many women I know that I talk to, they all think they need to lose weight. Mm. Right? I mean, nobody's happy with their body. Mm. I need to lose 10 pounds, 2 pounds, 200 pounds. It doesn't matter, right? Mm. So it happens to be struggle. Seems that women struggle with it more often. Okay, so let's just think about this. So just in that headline. And what does everybody think about Ozempic? Ozempic's for what? It's even not, but what did they take it for?
Well, weight loss.
Weight loss. It's a diabetes drug.
Yeah, it's not really, that's not the mainstream usage,
so
it would seem today.
I'm a woman. Most women struggling having a baby. I see a headline that says, Ozempic can help me make a baby. Mm. And I'll lose a few pounds on the top of it. Mm.
Which, by the way, is interesting because I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of women, there's a fear about, oh, what's this going to do to my body at pregnancy, gaining weight and all that kind of thing, too. So, I mean, there's a lot of psychology on that one as well.
Yeah, take your Ozempic, you know? Right? So then when I see this other article that says the headline, which, again, was, I would say, likely written by pharma, or I would tell you that pharma, I mean, my friends, listen to me. We know well established that many articles in medical journals are ghostwritten by teams with marketing on them. Mm-hmm. If it can make it into the freaking medical journal that way, do you think they can't get to the writer at the LA Times? Come on. Come on. When 75% of media is paid for by pharma. Yeah. So you damn well better believe that they absolutely have that what this headline wants it to say. So this headline says, miracle weight loss drugs. Just stop. Listen to that. What's the language that's happening here, folks? Miracle weight loss drug. Miracle. They could have reduced health disparities. Instead, they got worse. So you're thinking, okay, well, what's going on in here? So I'm gonna read you this article, parts of this article, because I think it tells this story. I want you to see this narrative fast so you can realize quickly. Mm-hmm. Just like what happened with COVID. So when everybody was initially, COVID's going on, and then there's this talk about this vaccine. So people that were maybe a little bit hesitant, like, man, I don't know, I don't trust it. It hasn't been tested. And then when they came out with the study, what was the language they were using when it first came out?
I don't know. I mean, it was experimental. I mean, it was
what was the language in the news about this? What was the language from mainstream?
That was a miracle.
It's 100% safe and effective. It stops the transmission.
Yeah, but even it was the miracle in the aspect of how fast they brought it to market and all that.
Right, but they knew people would have concerns, so they didn't say anything about the concerns.
Oh, yeah.
It was 100% safe and effective.
Yeah.
That's all you saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
All you saw. Even if you were wanted to ask questions. So the average person that's going, well, I had some concerns, but I don't know. Yeah. You know, Tom Brokaw, or probably not Tom Brokaw now, but whoever's
Ben, to your point, I was listening to a podcast earlier today, right? And it was from like 2 years ago.
Okay.
and they were talking about this podcast was
back in time.
I know. It was weird. I was looking for something on a subject and it just happened. I didn't know it was from 2 years ago. Like it was a particular, you know, feed or whatever. And it just happened to be the show. And anyway, I was listening to this and this podcast was referencing like this conference that was coming up that was related to this kind of thing. Right. First thing I hear in the conference is must have proof of vaccine to be able to enter the conference. I think we've forgotten that. Think about this. Like in 2024 now, there aren't signs anymore. There aren't masks. There aren't this.
There are in certain hospitals still, just so you know. Okay. Crazy as that is.
Right, I get them
every once in a while.
But we have forgotten that. And remember, there was a time where not only were
we forgotten. Where you haven't forgotten.
I know that.
And we don't need to forget.
I know that.
And so we shouldn't forget. But yes,
but point being is they were making these claims right here, safe and effective, 100%, that kind of thing. And you're required. It was both and. Yeah. Okay. Like, let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. Now, in retrospect, we're looking back going, wait a second, we got sold a bill of goods.
Well, think about how silly that is, Jeff. Right? So you have to show proof of vaccination, which now, and I wouldn't say hindsight, because if you looked at their actual application for their actual approval of that drug, which I read all of it, and it literally says, doesn't even stop that, okay? So the illusion behind it.
Yeah.
So even the fact that they were requiring people to show it, but then just laugh at this. Let's just laugh at this. So we have whether it was a concert or a seminar or a conference, you can only be in here if you have proof of vaccination. So let's just go under the assumption that everybody actually's proof of vaccination was real. Let's just say they actually had gotten the jabs.
Yeah.
It literally didn't matter. Like it didn't do what, the whole thing was BS. Mm. They had a room full of people that were just as able to transmit.
Right.
So like it's a joke. It's so not only should we remember like the audacity of them to show your papers, but the fact that how laughable it is that it wasn't even real.
Well, let's remember something too, that the people that were requiring this were not the pharmaceutical companies. They're the venue, you know, sponsors and this, that, and the other thing. And what are they doing it for? It's all about, it's gotta be liability, man. It's all like liability. Their insurance companies telling them that you gotta have this or out of fear of getting sued or whatever, that kind of thing. Which again, perpetuated, the whole narrative was just being perpetuated by we've got this solution right here and have everybody get it because then you are absolved of liability and end of story. I mean, insane.
So I want to read some of this article. Now, again, read it through the lens that anything you're reading through MSM, mainstream media, is going to be at some level bought and paid. Like you have to understand that. Do you think there's anybody writing for any major mainstream that's not having influence? I mean, we've had Cheryl Atkinson on here. We've had many actual journalists on here that have said, oh, no, if my story does not fit the narrative, it doesn't get to go. It doesn't make it. It doesn't. So this idea of independent, you know, journalism in our mainstream media is anyway. So opening line, the American Heart Association calls them game changers. Oprah Winfrey calls them a gift. Science Magazine anointed them.
Yeah.
The 2023 breakthrough of the year. Americans are most familiar with their brand names, Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, Zepbound. They are medications that have revolutionized weight loss and raised the possibility of reversing the country's obesity crisis. Obesity, like many diseases, disproportionately affects people in racial and ethnic groups that have been marginalized by the U.S. healthcare system. I have a problem with what they're saying.
Wait. Stop. Mm-hmm. Stop. Sorry. Now you got me upset. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ben, do you know what the average cost of these things is?
No, just hold it because it's going to light you up. It's in here. I'm going to read it to you.
Because I was going to say, don't even talk about under. All right.
Yep. It's been marginalized by the U.S. healthcare system, a class of drugs that succeeds where so many other. I mean, you guys, this was written by a marketing department. Come on. Look at, like, just. American Heart Association calls them a miracle.
Dude, I'm hot.
Oprah calls them a gift. Anointed as the, like, if you don't see what's happening, but here's why I'm bothering with this. Cause the game is the same, just like they did in COVID. You're going to kill grandma. It's the right thing to do. Christian leaders were saying, love thy neighbor.
Yeah, yeah.
You had all be like Jesus. Like they're pulling at your guilt, your shame. So this one is just pulling at your vanity. Now this one is saying, hey, this is how you're going to get healthy. We cracked the code. We found the magic bullet. Okay. So it says a class of drugs that succeeds where so many have failed would seem to be a powerful tool for closing the gap. Instead, doctors who treat obesity and the serious health risks that come with it fear that the medications are making health disparity worse. These patients have a higher burden of disease and they're less likely to get medicine that can save their lives, little Dr. Lauren Eberle says. She's a cardiologist and health services researcher at the University of Pennsylvania. I feel like a group, I would love to see Dr. Eberle's conflict of interest sheet. I would bet my life that she receives money for the drug companies. I'm certain of that. She works at a University of Pennsylvania, pharmaceutical. 70% of Stanford's medical school is funded by pharma. Stanford. Mm. So she's going to get money to come to this conclusion. It's how it works. Okay. So I feel like a group of patients has a disproportionate burden. It says they should have increased access to these medications. Oh, they love that statement, right? Just increase access. Increase that. Everybody is. Maybe they had Oprah on here. Everybody gets a car. Right? So everybody gets Ozempic. Says, why don't they? Experts say there's a multitude of reasons, but the primary one is cost. Ozempic, which is approved by the Food and Drug Administration to help people with type 2 diabetes control their blood sugar and reduce the risk of serious cardiovascular problems such as heart attacks and strokes, has a list price, listen, of $968 for a 28-day supply. $968 for 28 days. Wegovy, a higher dose of the same medicine that's FDA approved for weight loss in people with obesity who are overweight and have a weight-related condition such as high blood pressure or cholesterol. So Wegovy, that's $1,349 for every 28 days.
Yeah.
Okay? It gets worse. The other one, the Mounjaro.
Well, and they're going to say, well, with insurance, it can be cheaper or something like that.
Who pays insurance?
Well, that's my, yes, I know, we do. Yeah. Essentially.
No, not essentially. You do.
Yeah. But even beyond that, I'm saying these lower income thing often don't have insurance anyway, certainly not access to that. And oftentimes, if I'm not mistaken, Ben, these things only get approved for diabetes. They're not getting approved for weight loss purposes through insurance.
Oh, yeah. They get, well, no. Is that wrong? This is why you got to see what's happening here.
Okay.
This is the, first of all, they can be prescribed, drug doctors can prescribe anything for anything they want to, Jeff. It's called off-label prescribing.
Okay.
Anything they want to. Lunacy. You have to grasp this because they've put doctors as gods and says, well, of course, when it's in your hands, super doctor, you can prescribe for anything you want. We call it off-label prescription.
Yep.
This is what happened with the Prozacs and all these other drugs that were only, you know, very clearly supposed to be for the small amount of time. And they say, oh, no, then they're starting to provide for PMS and they're starting to give them for all this other stuff that never been approved for. Okay. But the doctors are, of course, the second coming of Christ. So anything that they think it might be good for. Even though there's no studies to show that, even though it doesn't do that, because it's not, this isn't even a debate. It's called off-label drug prescribing. That's what they do. Most of prescribing of drugs is actually prescriptions written for off-label use.
Yeah.
Which you think any human logic person would say that should be illegal. Like any free thinking person. If you think about all of the hoops that they're told they have to go through to try to get it approved, have to have studies to prove it. And then once it's approved, give it for whatever you want. How stupid is that? How stupid is that? Whew. Stupid. So the other one, the Mounjaro, similar drug approved by FDA to improve blood sugar levels in type 2 diabetes patients, and it comes with a listed price of $1,069 for 28 days. The other one, Zepbound, a version of the same drug approved for weight loss, has a slightly lower price at $1,059. Here's the kicker. Here's the good line for you. For now, all of these new drugs are meant to be taken indefinitely. Indefinitely. So $12,000 to $15,000 more every year to your health plan. So when you sit down at your meeting next year for your insurance for where you work and they say, hey, sorry, your benefits costs are up 10, 20% this year, right? That's why. Because you have to pay for that delta. For the 20, 30, 50, 80, 400 people that got on these drugs because they went to their doctor and said, I want to have a baby. They went to their doctor and said, I want to lose some weight. They went to their doctor and they said that. And the plan says, all right, well, hey, I don't know. And pay your copay and you get your Ozempic drugs, right? For health insurance programs, cover the medications when prescribed to help people reach and maintain a healthy weight. Federal law requires that weight loss drugs are excluded right now from Medicare Part D. It goes into some other thing. If everybody, this is the argument. This is why I know this is such a hit piece. They're trying to get this adopted across the board for all things. They're trying to draw public demand, right? It says, if everybody had equal access, then this would be a way to help, said old Dr. Rocio Pereira, the chief endocrinology at the Denver Health. But without equal access, which is what we have now, it's likely going to increase the disparity. U.S. obesity rates have been rising for decades, and they're consistently higher for Black and Latino Americans. Among adults 20 and older, it goes into some statistics here, and obesity rates, you know, all this kind of stuff. So here's what's so crazy. You know, this is what I wanted. So you asked me a question earlier, Jeff. I want to just touch on a couple of things here. So first, back to the pregnancy one just for a second. So I had pulled it up because I was like, man, I remember you said, well, hey, is there any risks to baby? Because if let's just say that more women are getting pregnant on this medication, being on this medication. Because there's multiple things we have to talk about here. It'd be like saying, I use this example a lot, Jeff. So, you know, for the listeners that listen to me all the time, I should come up with a new metaphor. Write me in a new metaphor. But, you know, if I'm really tired, so I go snort cocaine. So then I go, oh, man. And you come, or and your spouse comes and go, wow, you got so much done today. You did the laundry, you cleaned the house, you washed the car, you changed the oil, and you vacuum and you organize the room. You are awesome. Way to go. And you say, man, I took my cocaine today. It was awesome. But then a week or a month or a day or a year or 3 years later, when they find you dead in the living room because your heart exploded, what do we say? But what are you going to do? It was worth it. Like, you wouldn't say that, but you've been so brainwashed to just look at drugs as like vitamins, and they're just helping me out, and they're just good for me. You know why you think that? Because you read the article said miracle drug, and Oprah Winfrey said it's a gift, and the American Heart Association called it a miracle, and the scientific journals called it the medical breakthrough. They anointed it as the medical breakthrough. You go, well, that couldn't be all bad, but cocaine is, you know, people on the street and drug addicts and, you know, heroin and all this kind of stuff. You see what I'm saying? So you don't even realize how you have been bamboozled for it, right? We had a medical doctor on here today talking about benzos drugs, and how he said it's alcohol in a pill. But when it's prescribed he said they can't give you a shot of alcohol for, you know, withdrawal. So we give you a drug, like woohoo, like loony talk. But we all go, no, we're just trying to help. Does it matter when you say it in front of it? Like, I'm just trying to help. Does it make it any less BS? Does it make it, if I say to the alcoholic, the drug addict that I'm giving drugs to for his addiction, and I say, I'm just trying to help you. Like, any logical human being would say, it doesn't matter. You're not helping them. So these drugs are not helping. So these women that are getting pregnant. So I pulled up the insert on the drugs. And this one says they should not
Hang on. How do you do that? Can the average listener do something like that?
Do what?
Like pull up a drug insert?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Like is there like a central website or something? Because I think that'd be a really cool tool.
Yeah. Well, so whatever I always do, the other day I was going through a bunch of antidepressants and stuff. And so I just went in, and it was actually mind boggling. I just went in and just put in like Lexapro drug insert. And so you just typed it into the Google box. And then you go it takes you right to the FDA. It takes you right to there. And you'll have like the scanned in copy of the drug insert. So you can read it. You know, what was scary to me when I did that with these antidepressants and anxiety medications is, you know, you just read like
increased risk of suicide.
I mean, it's on every one of them. It's black box warning.
Yeah.
47 pages.
Yeah.
38 pages. Yeah. And if you've, like, do it as an exercise.
Yeah.
Because if you read one of them, and I did this back in the day, I actually went in. It's weird that you bring this up. I went one time, and I pulled up, I think it was Prozac. I pulled up Prozac's side effects, and then I actually pulled up the printed off of it's a drugs.com. It's like a website. I pulled up cocaine side effects. Cocaine side effects was about one page. The Zoloft or the Prozac one was like, I don't remember, 8 pages. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Yeah.
Like, if I put them side by side, I think that's what I did in an article I wrote about it. I put them side by side and said, which one of these sounds worse? Well, of course, everybody says that one. Well, you just picked cocaine over Prozac. That's a big deal. Like, you should think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it helps me when I take it. Cocaine helps you. Like, what is your point? Like, you sound so stupid when you say that. Now, I know I'm going to get some people, you know, irritated here, but like, we've got to hold on to logic here, guys. We've got to hold on to that. Like, do you ever, you know, what happens, like when anybody that's raised kids, and we've all had moments of weakness. So like me included on this, right? Like have you ever given into a tantrum? Like I have, you know what I mean? Not proud of it. You know, have you ever bribed your kid? Yes. Right. And regretfully so, because that isn't helped them or the situation. Okay. It maybe gave you some immediate. So when we think that we're placating, when we go like, oh yeah, but I didn't feel good and I took XYZ drug and I felt better. You wouldn't say to anybody, hey, I wasn't feeling very good. I, you know, drank a 12 pack, felt so much better. And you wouldn't say, well, keep that up. That's great for you. But put it in the form of a pill. I've hammered on this. So anyway, yeah, the pregnancy
I think this is cool. I think it's good for people to know how to do that. So thank you for sharing that. But yeah, okay, so you're reading the insert.
And right here, I'm just reading right under pregnancy. And it says, if you become pregnant while using this medication, contact your doctor immediately, it says. Immediately. Women who may become pregnant should use effective, who might become pregnant should use effective birth control. So let's just think about that. I want to lose weight, but I want to have a baby, but you should use birth control. So just drug. So if you're on this drug, oh, here you go. Let's use this. So if you're going to take this drug, then you should be on birth control. Okay. Interesting. So now we get a birth control. Have they ever done a study that shows this drug, what it does when it's with birth control?
I don't have that.
Of course not.
I'm just asking.
Of course not. Curious. Because they don't want to know the answer. Because everything that they study, then they have to actually, you know, it's another, they don't want it. That's why you'll see, if you go read those drug inserts, it's time after time. It'll say, you look up like carcinogenic, it'll say, has not been studied. Here you go. Here's a great one right under here. I'm actually reading it right here for children. The safety and effectiveness of using this medication has not been established in children. It says breastfeeding. Here you go, breastfeeding. It is not known if it passes into breast milk. If you're a breastfeeding mother and taking this medication, it may affect your baby. Talk to your doctors about whether you should continue. So are you telling me, Jeff, are you just a great example? Well, I get so angry when I read this. So in all the zillions of dollars that we supposedly spend on healthcare and all these drugs, so they couldn't find out if it passes into the breast milk? They just couldn't figure that one out?
That should be a easy.
Of course it is, but they don't know because they didn't look, because they don't want to know, because then they have to put it in there. So they can just say, we don't know.
But by the way, just real quick, just because this is, you know what I like to do on the fly. Healthline.com. Is there a connection between, is it semaglutide? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Which is Ozempic or some, all these classes, drugs. Yeah. And birth control. And just so an interesting line. To be clear, I'm reading.
Yeah.
To be clear, there's currently no published research exploring the relationship between semaglutide, Ozempic, and the effectiveness of birth control. However, there's some concern about semaglutide impacting the effectiveness of birth control pills because the effects semaglutide has on the digestive system. This is coming from Dr. Philip Kadaj. Anyway, this is interesting. If the hormones in birth control pills aren't being fully absorbed because of the delayed emptying from semaglutide, there's a chance the pill might not be quite as effective if the hormones were being completely absorbed anyway. That's interesting.
And by the way, that's just one area of the effectiveness of the drug.
Right.
What do these two drugs do together in your body?
Well, and that's the question, but I would be curious to know.
Cause cancer?
And I have a whole other opinion on birth control anyway, but let's say you are on birth control and you think that you're quote unquote safe.
Sure.
What if you're taking this now and you're not ready to start a family, in which case I would say, well, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, what if you're taking it and it gives you uterine cancer, but we never studied it because we didn't want to know.
There you go.
And you find out in 5 years. And so we say, oh, look at all these women that got pregnant. But also, oh, guess what? Just like with the cocaine metaphor, it also blew up my heart.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to study that. So it's the same thing that happened with the COVID jabs. They said, nope, doesn't cause heart problems, doesn't cause clots, doesn't cause myocarditis, doesn't cause pericarditis, except...
Yeah.
Well, actually, it does cause myocarditis and pericarditis and blood clots, and that we now actually acknowledge that, and we didn't know that, but we didn't want to talk about that because if we told you that, it would scare you from taking it.
But Ben, so remind me again the title of this article that you're reading, the original one, because let's just think about this for a second.
Which one? The baby one?
The baby one. Yeah. What did it say?
The baby one was they're calling them Ozempic babies. Which just to think about this. Do you guys remember? Just see through this. Remember COVID babies? That was a term. COVID babies. So all the people when we were locked down, right? And then there was a bunch of people, you know, together, right? And so they were called the COVID babies.
It's because the storks were essential workers though,
right? COVID babies, right? So Ozempic babies, then colon, women claim. So this is exactly what.
But this is my point. This is advocating that, wow, this
women claim
us.
Weight
this
loss drugs are making
spin.
Them more fertile and experts agree.
Right.
And experts agree.
Okay.
So
positive that was spin on this, but now I'm reading this over here that says we haven't done the research between this and fertility,
and
essentially.
They don't want to do the research.
Yeah.
The only research they would want to do is research that they can show that will make you sell more drugs. So we can spin it to women. So that's how they took Ozempic, and they said Ozempic reduces cardiovascular disease. Yeah. So now we can give it to you as cardio preventative. Now we can give it to you to help you get pregnant. Now, and so just mark my words. So when I was kind of talking about this show, would be this like trying to kind of telling you the future. I could have told you. So I remember I was talking about this the other day. I remember when I have a debate with a family member when I said, oh, mark my words, the COVID jab will be an annual shot. I was actually wrong. It's now multiple times a year. But so I was given the benefit of the doubt that it will only be once a year. But and the person didn't believe me. They were like, there's no way they're going to make it a shot every year, right? But when you know the game.
Yeah, of course not. It'll be multiple times a year.
Yeah, right. I was wrong. Maybe they were more right than I thought. Yeah, because I think the 10th booster is approved for the fall. Okay, so the 9th one was this spring, so fall, so 2 shots a year. And even if you look back at that, it's interesting. Why 2 shots, right? And then 2 shots a year. What's good for business, right? If I can make you get it 2 shots a year, if I can make you get 3, if I can make you get 4, if I can make you take it every day, if I can say that there's a new variant, so you got to go get your new jab. And by the way, the jab actually is what makes the variants. It's what pushes the variants.
Okay, by the way, go tangent on that for just a second here. As a kid growing up, I don't think I ever even heard of the flu shot, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's people get their flu shot every year. Mm-hmm. Same kind of idea there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's one of those, same type of idea in the sense that it's good for business. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for, I mean, it's a guess every year if you've ever read any, and there's some great studies on this, because here's the other question. Mm-hmm. Does it really even work? Right. And so the answer for that is no. Matter of fact, there's lots of studies that show that there was a great one done by the Cochrane Institute before they became more bought and paid, but they actually have done the studies on the effectiveness of the flu shots. And they said it's negligible. It doesn't really help. It doesn't reduce hospitalizations in the elderly. It doesn't do what they think it does. And by the way, it's different, if you will, every year. And they did actually find that people that get flu shots consecutive years actually reduces your chance to have an effective response to it when you need it. Okay. Right. So it actually causes, I can't remember the term that they use, but it actually makes you more susceptible to worse flus, which wasn't a surprise. We saw the same thing happen with COVID. What are they saying now? The more COVID jabs you have, the more susceptible you are to COVID, to now where they call it negative efficacy, which says the more jabs you have, it's actually you're more likely to get COVID now than the person that hasn't had any jabs. So that's called negative efficacy. But none of that is, but see, here's what I'm trying to get across today. None of that is a surprise. Mm. Like that, I can predict this stuff, not because I'm smart, because it's the same recipe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you think that we're going to have it down the road, whether it'll be months or years down the road, that there will be some major lawsuits about Ozempic? Do you think?
If I thought, yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
Right? Like there was for all the drugs, all the breakthrough drugs, for Zyox, for Celebrex.
The question that always becomes is like how much better are the attorneys or whoever getting at masking this stuff? Like, will this stuff make it to like, and if it does, right, how much we hear about it? Because nobody's talking about Vioxx
anymore. No, I don't even care about that. I just mean, let's all be truth. Let's all understand that as time goes on, just like it did with the COVID jabs, like it does with any drug in the history of time, you're going to realize that they lied about things. They hid the science. They fudged the science. They manipulated the science. This is what they do. So like, right, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Like, I don't know how many examples of this you need to see. And then when you start to see, when these drugs, the largest grossing drug right now that is now the number one most profitable company in the UK that makes this drug, do you think that that headline is an accident? Do you think the headline that says miracle drug? Do you think the headline that says all of the things, that's all the marketing court of public opinion to get you to think that it's okay. And then you go to your doctor. And then, and if it was really about health, to their point, even if you wanted to make the argument of, oh my gosh, this is so great for lowering obesity and has no side effects because people are just running through the woods now having babies. If you wanted to believe that, then you would think that the drug companies would say, man, we should be getting this in, right? Mm-hmm. So think about this. So, but instead it's $1,200 for 28 days, $1,000 for 20 days. So what's really going on here? And you're supposed to be on it for how long?
I guess, indefinitely.
Also known as forever.
Okay.
Because what happens if you get off of it?
You gain the weight back.
Yeah. So let's just do the math on that. So $12,000, $13,000 a year for you know, pick a number, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You know, and by the way, then, of course, all the side effects that will start coming up. But, of course, there's a drug for that, too, right?
Matter of fact,
that pill is coming out because we saw this actually destroys muscle tissue.
Yeah.
And so they have that exercise drug, right, that they're approving this, the exercise drug. I said the exercise drug helps slow down the degradation of loss of muscle. Probably from the same drug company, right? It's like when, so this is why I need you to see, this is why I don't need to like, I'm not confused for a second when I hear about Ozempic. I didn't go, maybe this thing's pretty cool. Like, didn't cross my mind for a second, because it's impossible for it to be pretty cool, because it's trying to play God in your body. And it's made by people that all they care about is money. And if you don't believe me, then explain to me $1,269 a month for 28 days. Explain to me that. Explain to me, you know, every other issue I could have with it. What are you going to say?
I got two questions for you. Yeah. And I don't know where to start. So let me just throw them out there and then, you know, we'll see where we go. But first question is, yeah, or maybe this is more of a statement than a question. You know, if you think about people who are in sales, Ben,
yeah,
okay, you know, somebody's a product rep or they're a this, even people in, I don't know, like pharmaceutical sales that are selling to doctor's offices and stuff like that. My guess would be that on a decent sale, let's say you sell a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of product or something like that, you get $10,000-$12,000, you know, in a commission or $5,000, whatever. That's a major, major commission. Yeah. But you have a limited audience to which you could sell. Mm. It's almost like they flipped the roles here. Think about this. Like, you've got how many people in this country alone, that are obese? And this is a worldwide thing. I mean, because isn't one of them from like Germany originally? Like,
Well, make no mistake, though. It's worldwide, but make no mistake. Like, yeah, I shared on the other episodes, like, the Japan's obesity rate's 4%. Okay, Italy's obesity rate is 10%. We're at 46%.
Right, so 46% of our country of, what, totally, 350 million people. Totally. You know, you start to whittle things down and you go, man, it's a massive audience to sell to. And the commissions on these things, if you think about it in that terms, let's say $12,000, $13,000, $14,000 a year, is like, is sizable. That would be a gold mine payday for somebody in sales who's mining from a much smaller pond. This is a massive pond.
You don't think every drug rep wants to be selling Ozempic right now?
Oh, I'm sure they do. Yeah. I'm sure they do. I mean, it's got to be the hot product.
Why? Because they just love people so much and they want to help them become healthier.
Well, I mean, you know.
And how do you think they're going to get those, the best of the best? Because they're going to hang what size of check in front of them. You'd probably go sell Ozempic if somebody said to you, hey, for $500,000, Jeff, if you can just go into these doctors and tell them it's nice and I'll give you a BMW to go over there and we'll give you a nice house and we'll fly you and your family to Mexico and we'll do all this. It'd be awesome. But Jeff, it helps people. Obesity is so bad right now. You're just trying to help people and they've tried and there's been disenfranchised and you go, oh gosh, for $500K, I'll just do it for a year or two. I'll make some money, pay off some debt, and then I'll go over to get this and then I'm going to check out. I don't really believe in it, but hey, if it helps some people. Yeah. You can see how you could fall for this crap.
Oh yeah, the temptation would be there. I would like to think that it would be strong enough to overcome that, but I mean, that's, most people aren't.
That's what they do all the time. And so let me ask question two.
Question two is this, okay? Because my wife is doing the challenge that you guys are doing right? I told her, I said, hey, I heard about the contest with the steps yesterday. So I went out walking with her last night. I was like, can I submit? She's like, you didn't pay. And I'm like,
that's funny.
Yeah, but I want to do the contest.
And we got stuck doing the same thing. I get home and we had dinner and then my wife's like, I got to go out, you know, the good thing. And so we started walking. She was at like 8,000 steps. And then we got to like, so then we did like a loop, our little neighborhood loop. And then she's like, oh, we got to hit this cul-de-sac, right?
Dude,
and then,
dude, that was us last night.
And I didn't change. I still had my, like, my pants on. You know, like, well, you know, I wasn't walking naked, but I mean, I still had like my work.
There's a picture.
So I was, I was getting hot. I was like, and so it's funny that you bring this up because going home.
Listen, your name was a four letter word last night. Okay, like, I'm just going to tell you.
Well, I was getting in trouble with my own challenge. I was like, I'm going home.
Well, you're the one that started it, right? And I'm like, this is my problem. You got to get your steps and go walk. What do I have to do? You know, like, whatever. Anyway, so we're walking last night. And one of the things, so it's not just the challenge of steps, it's eating, workouts and everything. And so Shannon was talking to me about insulin spikes. Okay. And I don't know if it was you or Ryan or whoever, somebody was teaching on the challenge, you know, about some of those things and the way to eat and, you know, a little bit of fasting questions and stuff like that. So I asked this question. I said, isn't apple cider vinegar supposed to be good for insulin spikes? Wait, to which Shannon says, yes, to some degree. Like, you drink, you know, a teaspoon or whatever it is 30 minutes before, and it's supposed to help that. So I thought about that, Ben. I'm like, isn't that essentially what these drugs are doing, is just like curbing the insulin spikes or something? Well, are there not natural ways of doing that?
Well,
don't cost 14 grand.
Well, it's a fair question. I mean, it's not a fair question. I think you, and this is a good point, Jeff. I want to say this. Gosh, I you know, we had this other you know, doctor on, like, or just we're talking about, so it's on my mind, you know, and he was talking about, you know, the mutilation that's going on with kids with gender, right? With them cutting off kids' organs and things like that.
Right, right.
You know, healthy children, physically healthy children that were, but we're slaughtering, and it's unconscionable.
Making lifelong choices at an age where Lord knows what they're thinking at this point.
Right.
Right.
So if that, so in some level, it's like, I can't even believe we're having this conversation. Okay. So I feel that way about Ozempic. Like, Jeff, I feel like it's to you. I mean, I'm glad you asked the question, but because it's like this, it's like if you were sitting across from me right now and you're beating your thumb with a hammer and all you were asking about was what pill can I take so I don't, you know, to cover up the pain of my thumb with this hitting the hammer. And then if I said, hey, dude, like, I know this is going to sound super simple, but like, maybe move your hand if that hammer is not your hand hitting it, or maybe stop hitting with a hammer. And if you were to say, well, no, like,
That can't be it.
You know, that can't be it. Or just, or it's too hard, or I've always hit it with a hammer, or I like hammers hitting my hand, or you're a jerk or whatever. So like, Jeff, I can't really believe that I'm sitting. This is why I share this stat about like Japan and Italy and some of these other nations. So, so like Japan's at 4% obesity. We're at 46. Do you really think that that's a genetic difference?
Oh,
that's,
of course not.
Of course not.
Of course not.
So then why are we talking? And does anybody think, like, does anybody with a morsel of a brain think that you can eat whatever you want, or not whatever, just eat junk or whatever, or just think you want to lose weight or whatever is going on here?
Just eat stuff with chemicals and processing in it that like that exists in very few places in the world.
Let's just say you just struggle. You know, like, this is where I just want to talk about. You know, sometimes you hope your brain like says the words in a way that it makes sense. You know, so like people can grasp this, because this isn't even complicated. But and I think people get it. But I want to just keep speaking into this. It's like you no person would say. Because I was just going to say, you know, because people are so busy. Like, our lifestyles have gotten so busy and crazy that we're eating on the run and we're grabbing what we can. So I'm going to say there's like very like good hearted, healthy minded people that still find themselves with 20 pounds they want to lose. Okay. You follow me? Like, not because they're junk food junkies, not because they're this, but they've gotten a habit going. They get their big gulp at lunch because it's the highlight of their day because everything else sucks. Whatever. Right. So like, I don't know. It's their guilty pleasure. They have their, I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
My point is that's a lot of people right there. Okay. And so when culture brings in this, it's not your fault. You're doing what you can. Hey, there's all these risks with that. You know, you're obese. So just take this pill. They don't tell you got to take it forever. They don't tell you that. And the reason that this drug scares me so much, Jeff, because it's one of the first drugs that's really linked to vanity. You know, so like in chiropractic, I often say, you know, if your spine was on your face, you'd take better care of it. My son has to get braces, $7,000 for the braces on his face. Okay. Like, most people don't even flinch at like that's a lot of money. I mean, like, it's annoying. Okay. But most people are like, well, I want them to have teeth that are straight. So you'll go sell your car and paint money and get a paper route to pay for that. But your spine is destroyed and but you don't see it. So you don't really care about it. This pill, when it's linked to, you mean I can look a little better in my dress? And by the way, if people actually had to pay for that drug, $1,200 a month, like, to your point, Jeff, like, we all know, and let me just put a little tiny caveat in here for the people that are haters or whatever, is there some people that have underlying endocrine issues that they need to get addressed? By the way, though, most of those, my friends, well, first of all, that's not what these drugs are. That's not the people taking these drugs. Okay, just like opioids were initially only ever allowed, prescribed for inpatient terminal cancer patients. Okay. So it was essentially a hospice type of drug, end of life care, right? Try to keep them comfortable as they're passing away. Just really a mercy drug, right? Like, I understand that. But then, of course, quickly, they could only be given in doctor supervision. They could only be given in the hospital. But now, you know, there's people getting them for outpatient, you know, surgery for their knee. I had a person tell me they went to the dentist the other day and they got some dental work done and they sent them home with opioids. for dental work. Like this was never the intention, but this is the slippery slope of what happens. Mm-hmm. So if we can just take out this caveat, and by the way, but still most of the people, even with endocrine issues and underlying issues, by the way, most of those are still probably related to your lifestyle, meaning you got toxic poisons that ate your thyroid or whatever. So, but let's just take that small percentage off. It's like with gender care. Like, is there a true certain very small subgroup of people that have what we call gender dysphoria, right? Mm-hmm. But it's estimated to be far less. It's like 0.1%. Mm-hmm. It's nothingness. It's a big deal for that person, but it's not enough to change our whole society for take care of those people, serve those people. And by the way, that's considered a mental health disorder. Mm-hmm. Like that's not an exaggeration. Like you can hate me if you want to. There was just a big article about this. They're doing this in the military. So militaries are paying for these surgeries now for people, but it disqualifies those people from actually having active service because once they get that surgery, it's considered a mental health diagnosis. They're not fit for active duty. They can't go over and fight it's just insanity.
Wow.
Because it's a mental health diagnosis.
Yeah.
You're not well,
yeah.
We've said. Okay? Now, we can have compassion for that, and we can have do all of that. I'm not denying that. So anyway, back to this point. We are in a situation where I would have lost this bet, Jeff. I would never have believed we would be in a time where people would actually be believing that obesity is genetic and that there's nothing they can do and they need a pill. I would have bet the farm that people would not have fallen for that. But I've been wrong again, where that enough marketing and enough propaganda and enough BS and enough, you know, is the same thing with, you know, get the famous people wearing masks, you know, whatever. You know, get Oprah Winfrey saying it's a gift, you know, right? Well, if Oprah says it's a gift, it must be good. If the science journals, like, again, I read those articles, it's so obvious. The American Heart Association says it's a breakthrough. They hit all the areas. Well, American Heart Association, they must be smart people. Nobody knows that they're actually a propaganda machine paid for by pharma. Like, it's not a bunch of free-thinking cardiologists that are trying to solve heart disease. It's a front organization that's funded by pharma to promote and promote all the things that pharma wants you to promote. But it's done under the guise of something that sounds fancy, right? American Heart Association, American Diabetes Association, like fill in the blanks for these things, right? American Pediatric Association. These are all trade organizations that are funded by pharma to lie to you and to make it sound like it's scientific because they know the other way. If Pfizer came out and said it, if Ozempic came out and said it's a breakthrough drug, you know, or the people that produce that drug, people, that's kind of weird. So they don't do that. They just pay the media to say it like, you know, Ozempic babies. So here we sit, something as simple. And this is why I have such concern for the future of people, because if you can't see this BS, if you're falling for this, like, I don't know, but I would have also thought people wouldn't fall for, we should, you know, call our kids cats and put litter boxes in bathrooms and, you know, cut off their genitals because they say they're in the wrong body. And we say, okay, yeah, let's do that. And put them on, you know, medical, you know, put them on, like I wouldn't believe we'd fall for this stuff as hard and as fast as we have fallen for it. Mm-hmm. But because it's linked to vanity, it's amazing what people will do to look good, right? Well, I mean, this story is almost as old as time to some degree. Mm-hmm. And so now that they've lacked a pill onto it and then they couple that with your insurance and now, right, let's go get a drug to, you know, make me lose weight. So I think you have a question. I kind of noticed something on your face there.
No, I'm looking up the gender dysphoria thing as a mental health disorder. And yeah, I mean, looks like it was, it's included in the DSM-5.
Well, of course it is that though. Like, what is it? What if it's a diagnosis? It's of course it's versus what?
Well,
of course it is.
What I'm reading though is the reason I was searching that, I wanted to see how, because, you know, again, as we've done this over the years and you've helped me see some things, like, it's helped me see how things get buried. Mm. And it took a while to find any articles that even acknowledged, you know, and even within the body of a mainstream news article, I'm looking at one right here. It's way down there.
Matter of fact, it's funny, Jeff, you think about this. So here's a classic example. It is in the DSM as a mental health disorder.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yet if you say that, you're considered a hater and you're just using their own language of their own diagnosis.
Right.
And you say it's a mental health disorder and they say, what are you saying? I'm saying that's what it says. Like, in order for you to even get the surgery that you think you want, you're going to let the man diagnose you with a mental health disorder to cut off your genitals. Okay, so that's the game. All right, now these are all, so when I look at gender dysphoria and I look at, you know, weight loss pills and I look at COVID jabs, like, it's all the same to me. It's the same game, right? Propaganda, lies, pay the, you know, this is why I'm kind of saying this. So my prediction for what's gonna happen is this is going to be crazy. The insurance companies, and you mentioned that, Jeff, and it does talk about that in the article a little bit. So here's what the argument's going to be. Well, you know, obesity related, just mark my words, health insurance is going to explode in even more the cost.
Which is already outrageous.
Crazy. Yeah, exactly.
Outrageous.
Right? And so people don't know this, but insurance companies are there. This is what's crazy. This is a little not insider baseball, but just something people need to know. So 90% sure that there's a cap on the profit margin of how much insurance companies can make. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's 20%. I think it was 15 and then they got it bumped up to 20. So I think it sits at 20%, which is still pretty darn healthy profit margin. If you think about any industry, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like most businesses would love to have a 20% profit margin.
It's way more than a grocery store.
Than a restaurant, way more than 90% of the businesses out there. Mm-hmm. I know many business owners. I see that I'm in some CEO groups and very few have margins like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and that actually happened during the push for Obamacare, or you know, that whatever the official term was. What was the real, everybody calls it Obamacare?
Affordable healthcare. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it actually came out of that. And everybody thought it was so amazing that they actually got these companies to agree to this, right? Huh. They're like, oh, wow, look at how they agreed them to cap their profits, okay?
Not realizing that it was jumping.
So think about, so then if you want to make more money, if your profit margin's capped, how do you make more money?
Well, I mean, was it capped by percentage, or is that what you were saying?
Yeah, capped by percent.
Yeah, okay.
So how do you make more money?
Well, it's greater demand.
It more spend, right? If, you know, 20% of a million,
yeah,
or 20% of 10 million. Mm-hmm. So the way I grow my bottom line, my money, my profit, I can't change the 20%. Mm-hmm. That's going to live there. So my only way to make more money is bigger gross.
Bigger pyramid, man.
Okay. So what happened, and that's why you see this. That's why you're seeing this thing happen, because their only way to, it doesn't drive innovation in the sense, it doesn't drive, you know, more, it drives, well, we have to have really expensive drugs. So what will happen is they will push the demand. They'll get this approved for kids. They'll get this approved. They're already giving it to kids. And because that article came out in the American Pediatric Journals where they said the front line of defense, it's all propaganda. The front line of defense, first line of defense for obese children should be these drugs. That's what they said. Okay. So I'm not making that up. That's published. You can Google it if you want to. So that's what's going on there. Right now they'll say that, hey, we've got to get these to all the people of, you know, color, and the article I just read to you, because it's right. It's all the classics, all the terms, right? It's where it's not fair. It's racial injustice. It's all this stuff. Right. And so we got to get them these drugs. And then also what you'll find is, because they'll say things like, well, you know, obesity related diseases cost us $20,000 a year. So, hey, this drug, you know, is only $15,000 a year. So we're going to actually save $5,000, except that's never what really plays out. Mm-hmm. Because let's just use an example. When that person has an event, you know, but I took to take this drug for 9 years at the cost of, you know, $100K a year.
Yeah.
So I spent $900,000 to prevent, it's all this game. It sounds good for a millisecond. Mm-hmm. And that's why they do it. And they make it complicated for you to kind of understand it. And again, what is so weird to me, Jeff, is something as obvious. This is my point. I never knew how they were going to do it. I didn't know how they were going to break into the lifestyle game, how pharma was going to do it, but they did it, and they did it good. And I'm my heart is broken about it, because it's going to be a runaway train, because they broke into a way to get into your psyche and to say, oh no, this is healthy. We're going to help you stay healthy. We're going to reduce all of your risk factors for all this disease. So how can you not be suspicious? The food and drug and the food companies and the processed foods, we're all going to make you sick and fat.
Yeah.
And then we're going to sell you a drug that's going to, you know, treat your sick and fatness, right? And then, of course, that doesn't work. And so we'll have to have other drugs for the other side effects. And you can step out of this matrix. You can step out of this, but you've got to take personal responsibility for your health. You've got to say, you have to have this like deep refusal to participate. Like you have to just call it like BS, 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 BS. Like, I don't know, Jeff, this is probably not an appropriate metaphor, but it's like, and maybe I don't want to put you on the spot. Like, just, I know your work that you do in counseling, you know, but like.
You thoroughly enjoy putting me on the spot.
Well, this one's a little bit taboo. So that's why I say that. But like, you know, we've all maybe heard the stories of somebody that, or know somebody that maybe was like abused by a spouse, right? And then early on, there's usually like, there can be like a justification, like, you know, it was the first time he did it or she did it or whatever, or they're really great, or they're fill in the blank, right? Now, I think anybody usually from the outside that's hearing this story, I'm assuming most of those people do not buy into those rationalizations and say, oh, well, you're right. Well, in that case, well, you know, or maybe let's just take out the abuse. That one just sucks so bad. Let's just say like maybe infidelity. Not that that's less crappy. Mm. Let's just say infidelity. Mm. If you say, well, I've, you know, found out my spouse was cheating on me. I don't think anybody says, well, you know, is he a pretty good guy? Is she pretty nice? You know, does he really mean it? Is he sorry? You know, like, I don't think that really flies. And I'm not saying that there's not redemption available there. I'm just saying like, there's nothing okay about it. There's nothing redeeming about the horrible act itself.
Yeah.
And so my point in this is we have to continue to see and hold it in our minds. Like you said earlier, when how did we forget about, you know, them asking for papers to get into the, right? Like, we have to remember how absolutely insane that is. So we don't repeat it. We have to remember, we have to see, like, right now they're trying to sell us a pill to make us not have to think about our lifestyle at all, become a victim, right? Like, I don't know, I just gaining weight. Meanwhile, I'm eating, it's so crazy. I'm eating all their foods that make me sick and fat and depressed and addicted. We're eating all those things. We're paying them to get addicted to those foods. And then we get addicted to those foods. We have all the side effects of those foods. Then we go to essentially the same industry. I mean, they're in bed together. And many of them are actually co-owned. Like there's like subsidiaries of Kraft that own pharmaceuticals. Like, it's crazy if you think about it. So like, junk food makers own pharmaceutical companies and vice versa. Like, come on, what is happening here? And then they sell you that. So like, you've got to hold that in your mind as madness until the end. Don't let them wear you down with fancy headlines and articles. Don't fall for it. Even when you're having trouble having a baby and you hear it say Ozempic babies and, well, maybe that will work for me. Like, you've got to continue. And it's hard to say things like this because it's kind of like you have to, like, you know, like, keep yourself feeling crappy. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like a mentally difficult. Like, I know you talk about this yourself sometimes, like, man, I don't want to believe that to be true, or because it hurts your heart. It hurts your, like,
that's
hope in humanity.
Yes, that's number one way.
You know?
So
it's like, that can't be true. And then you want to find anything to prove that what I said wasn't true. So you can get on thinking, see, it's just good people. Everybody makes mistakes. What are we going to do? But when the scales are finally ripped off, and everybody has a different point when they kind of come to that awareness and they go, wow, I guess this is a problem. And then you need to really push into resistance. It's when you really need to push in. And I don't know what will break the dam. Maybe when people's, you know, when businesses start going out of business, the number one or number two line item for most businesses that have employees that they provide health insurance for is health insurance. It's the number one or number two cost on their P&L. And so when all of a sudden companies are going out of business, you're seeing what happens in certain countries or certain areas where they're raising the minimum wage so high, and companies just shutting their doors. Right now, we could talk about, there's a lot to talk about there, but make no mistake that people are going to go out of business and people are going to lose their jobs over that. So you thought it was bad before. Wait till people are losing their job. Wait till people, businesses that were paying your insurance and now they can't afford to pay your insurance. And you usually pay a portion of your insurance, right? So you can't afford to pay that anymore because the company, it ate up all of their profit. And all because, you know, they convinced a bunch of your coworkers to go get on a drug for the rest of their life at the cost of $1,000 a month. All for something that can be dealt with and should be dealt with through lifestyle, through just, so there's this really wild thing happening. There's a really wild thing happening in healthcare that is unique and new that I've never seen before. And they are pathologizing lifestyle and then presenting a solution within the lifestyle framework. And it's working, meaning people are buying it. People are falling for it. And it's not, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. It's going to, and there's going to be implications, ones I'm not even thinking about, that, you know, will show up. And so I'm happy to be wrong, but I'm probably not. Meaning, you know, this is going to, this is just the tip of the iceberg with Ozempic. There's too much money behind it. You're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about it. Kind of like you said, then they'll push down the effects, right? It'll be, I'll predict it. They'll say, oh yeah, but these people are having side effects. Oh, I know, but more people are being saved because they lost weight. And so they're not having heart attacks. Okay. If that's the case, super smart people that you want to say, then here's what we should predict. Then if it's going to reduce all the cardiovascular disease, then what should we start to see? Less
reduction in death.
Yeah. Really, right? Cardiovascular disease, right? Number one cause of death since the last 50 years.
Yeah.
And I will absolutely tell you that will not happen. Mm. Okay. So then, but they won't talk about that, right? It's like we're on all statin drugs. We're on more statins than we've ever been on, but heart disease continues to climb. Well, then something's up, something's not working. So they'll just keep changing the goalposts. They'll just keep changing the narrative because they don't want you to think about that. Mm. So when you realize how much you're manipulated by, so they tell you, oh no, this is going to promote all this chronic disease and this is going to help all this stuff. You know, that's, we agree with you. There's so many people that are so sick because of their lifestyle. We found a pill to fix that. Like that sentence right there should make you like your head explode, right? It's like, It just should make your head explode. So I know we went at it a little bit here today on this episode for people, but like, I need you to see this game that they're using with these medications. Don't let them guilt you from talking about it. Don't stop calling out the BS of this. You saw the same thing happen with CBD, where everybody and their dog was doing CBD. And I mean, everybody lived through it. I went from nobody does marijuana to everybody and their dog does marijuana, right? And they're, oh, I sleep better with it. I feel better with it. It helps my this, it helps my that, it helps my pain, it helps this, right? And I've seen that play out now over probably the last 7 or 8 years, where everybody had their CBD gummies, everybody's taking edibles, everybody's getting their medical card, right? And now I have it. I'm seeing the people at the end go, man, this sucks. I wish I was off this. I can't. Now it messed me up. I wish I wouldn't. It's always with this stuff, okay? Wegovy and, you know, Ozempic and all these other ones will be no different. It'll be no different. So where we're at.
Thanks for listening to Designed to Heal. Always remember that the greatest doctor lives inside of you, and God gave you what you need to be healthy and well. Connect with Dr. Ben at drbenrawl.com or achievewellness.clinic. And please share this podcast with someone who needs to hear it, and follow us on Instagram at Designed to Heal Podcast.